One reason we've embarked on wholesale rejuvenation for our older NCOs is that we've had a period of relative peace for long enough that most young personnel have never been in combat. We wanted to preserve that experience, to have it when we next needed it.
Well, I heard that one reason for the mutiny was the lack of opportunity for young people to advance.
I'm coming to that. They're actually related. Some of the younger officers and NCOs in fleet believed that rejuvenation froze the promotion scale and kept them from having a normal career. To some extent, this is true. If you look at the command structure over the past 100 years, promotion slowed markedly in the past 10. This created a sizable fraction of younger personnel who were feeling frustrated. Whether a mutiny would have occurred just because of this, we can't know. However, when word began to spread about the failure of enlisted rejuvenations, this led to near panic among the middle and upper enlisted grades who had been rejuved. When Hobart Consuline shut down the research and funding for treatment, this fed the fear that Fleet was deliberately causing rejuve failure to open up the career structure again.
What was the treatment?
Immediate rejuvenation with good drugs. That froze the condition where it was. If caught early enough, the symptoms never developed. But it was expensive, and to ensure good drugs, we went to another source than that from which we'd bought the bad drugs.
Alleged bad drugs.
Besides concerns about opportunity and failed rejuvenations, there's a third source of unrest. Any military organization tends to attract some people who seek power in unhealthy ways. We had Admiral Lupescu, who became the focus for those who believed that only the harshest military values mattered. When his policy of using prisoners as human prey in hunts was discovered, we realized that he had followers throughout Fleet. We eliminated those we could identify. But we could not simply condemn everyone who had ever known him.
Why didn't you find out about him sooner?
I'd like to say because he was careful. But probably his superiors were also careless, willing to accept his efficient performance without looking too closely at his methods. At any rate, we think the mutiny began among those who fit several of these criteria. Frustration at lack of opportunity. Concern about the misuse of rejuvenation, and membership in the secret society that Lupescu started. We now have evidence, following the rescue of loyalists from the Bonar Taig, that its captain, Solomon Drige, was in fact a Lupescu protege.
At this, there was a flurry of movement among the members.
We certainly do need to look further into these things, but at the moment, what Fleet needs is your support in putting down the mutiny. This means not only money, but your commitment to the Familius. We know that the mutineers have approached some of you, offering protection or making threats. We know they may try to use your private worlds to hide out or resupply. We need to know that the Grand Council supports the loyal elements in Fleet, that you won't make any special deals.
Well, if you're not protecting us, we have to get help where we can.
Traitor!
It's just an excuse to ask for more money. The whole thing's a fabrication.
Order! Order, everyone, please come to order. Order. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please take your seats? We need to come to order.
In moments, the simmering tension of the chamber had boiled over into chaos, members standing and yelling at each other, shaking their fists. The speaker clearly lacked the presence to bring them to order. Brunn, sensing that yelling might soon come to blows, rose and went down the steps to the front. They had hoped no such action would be necessary, but just in case... She noticed that people quieted as she passed their tables. A few even spoke her name. She ignored them, walking as Miranda would have walked, cool and serene. She knew movement would draw attention, and movement like this, non-threatening, calm, would compel by its contrast. The noise had lessened considerably by the time she got to the lowest level. Pearsall was wringing his hands, his face pale. Brunn smiled at him and held out her hand.
May I try, Sam Pearson?
It's hopeless. You'll have to call in the security to clear the chamber.
Possibly, but let me try first, all right? We haven't had to clear the chamber in 90-odd years.
Pearsall handed her the gavel and stepped back. Brunn flicked on the speaker's mic and glanced around. Most of the arguers were at least glancing her way now and then to see what was happening, but they weren't ready to pay attention. She reached into the recess under the podium where, as Kevel had told her, a loud hailer was stowed for emergencies should the power go out. She picked it up.
Stop this nonsense!
For a critical moment, they tried to figure out who held the loud hailer and what was happening. Brunn blinked the lights.
We have serious issues to discuss, and I mean discuss, not have screaming tantrums over.
Who told you to...
Sit down, Sir Morline, and be quiet. If you wish to be recognized, you will request it with your button.
You...
Thank you.
Brunn put down the loud hailer and set the speaker's mic to a medium volume.
I see many lights are lit. Please wait your turn. Please limit what you have to say to factual information or a brief expression of support or opposition to the topic.
She took the lights in order, and according to the computer's log. The first to speak, having pressed their buttons before the uproar, now had trouble remembering what they had wanted to say. Brunn waited for them, not rushing them. By the time 10 had spoken, the others were all settling down like a team of restive horses that now felt an experienced hand at the reins. She was careful not to grin, not to let them see the triumph she felt. She went on being calm and cool and perfectly fair until even the Consulines were able to leave off sarcasm and discuss the issues. She had seen her father do this often enough. Boring them into good behavior, he called it. When the debate on ageists and rejuvenants heated up again, Brunn stepped in.
This is an important issue. We must come to some new understanding of how to constitute our government. But right now, at this time, we need to make sure we have a government and a polity to govern. We have heavily armed warships roaming inside our borders, any one of which could hold a planet hostage. Suppose one or a group of them decided to take over a colony world. Some colonies do not even have efficient communications access out of their own system. You know more and more of our children have been going to the colonies. Do you want to deliver them to slavery?
No.
Most of us here own stock in, if we don't completely own, the trading consortia that move our goods from place to place. What will piracy do to our profits? What we must do is secure our borders and rid ourselves of the menace of these mutineer ships. We don't want them defecting to the Benignity or the Blood Horde.
No one would go there.
No? Why not? If they are, as Minister Solinari says, part of a cult of strength through killing, isn't this just a sophisticated version of the Blood Horde's beliefs? I can see a mutineer or so running to the Blood Horde and then teaching them how to maintain and use the advanced technology of the ships they stole. I can also see the Benignity being extremely upset with us for being so careless.
So you think we ought to do what?
First, give Fleet our support, as Minister Solinari said, to put down the mutiny and secure our borders. When we've done that, then we can deal with these other issues. We need to reassure our neighbors that we are not planning to encroach on them. And we need to find a way to open opportunities to more of our citizens, to the young, now kept from advancement by their elders who have rejuved repeatedly, and to those not in the great families, to the many people now shut out from all decision-making.
What? You'd let outsiders into the Grand Council?
Not outsiders. People who have been in our polity for generations, but just ignored. But this is for later discussion. Right now, I am calling a vote on Minister Solinari's request that investigation be deferred and support be given to the regular space service.
You can't do that!
I just did. Sir Counseline, moments ago the chamber dissolved into disorder, into name-calling and useless arguments. It was necessary to restore order, and I did that. In so doing, I took over the authority to decide what issues would come up, and right now I'm calling for a vote. You can criticize me later, but at this moment, you will vote or abstain.
Brunn stood there unmoving as the votes began to trickle in. A flurry of no from the main Consuline seats, a scattering of yes from minor houses, then a block of yes from the Barraclough's. Another cluster of no from several minor families among the Consulines. She'd hoped for a bigger margin. This would be down to the wire. Suddenly, she noticed a scurry of movement among the younger Consulines. Votes began to change. She held up her hand. Everyone sat back and watched.
Excuse me, I notice votes changing. This is legal, but I want to be sure that the individuals are changing their votes willingly and not under any duress.
They're changing your way.
That's not the point. I'm not here to win. I'm here to see that you all have the opportunity to vote your true convictions. May I have affirmation?
One of the young Consuline men stood up. Brunn nodded.
I'm changing my vote on my own. Because I think it's about time we had some young leadership.
Brunn nodded again and waited until all the changers had spoken. Sirion and Oscar were white around the mouth, but said nothing more. When all the votes were in, Fleet had its support. With over 2/3 of the votes, Brunn turned to Solinari.
Sir Minister, we trust you will convey to Fleet our full support.
Solinari did not grin, but his eyes twinkled at her.
Yes, Sarah.
In the next hours, days, weeks, Brunn struggled to convince the seats of the great families of the need to expand the franchise and find a way to organize a society that would be, in the long run, comprised of near-immortal individuals. Fleet's success against the mutineers helped her. As the news came in about the destruction of the mutineer flagship and the other mutineer ships, her prestige grew. When Fleet reported on the fate of Harless Thornbuckle, other families who had considered treating separately with the mutineers changed their minds, and this also increased her influence. The young people, those who had not rejuved yet, understood the problems of rejuvenation clearly, though they were less receptive to bringing in non-family representatives. Over and over, Brunn pointed out her reasons to them.
They're rejuvenating too. They'll live just as long as your parents and grandparents, and they're going to want power. We can't stuff the rejuvenation tiger back into the box. It's out, and it's going to stay out. What we have to do is design a system people can live with, rejuvenants and those who oppose rejuvenation alike. And right now, if you'll work with me, we have the votes. There are still more unrejuvenated than rejuvenated members.
The young Consulines, eager to profit from rejuvenation, were willing to consider how a long-lived society might work. Some religious groups opposed rejuvenation entirely. Brunn listened to their objections over and over and took them back to the pro-rejuvenation faction over and over.
It has to work for everyone.
Brunn also talked to those rejuvenants who would meet with her, emphasizing her conviction that multiple rejuvenations gave them special skills and responsibilities, as well as privileges.
You can afford to take the very long view. You can figure out for yourselves how to use that extra time productively to contribute and not just hoard resources.
She began to wonder, after a few of these meetings, if they'd all had bad rejuve drugs somewhere down the line, because most seemed unable to grasp the need to change. They liked the life they had. They could not believe that change might come by force.
Oh, believe it. When you're outnumbered enough, it doesn't matter what talents and skills you have. I learned that on our Texas.
It was the first youth vote in council which convinced many of them. Months of hard work lay ahead, but if Fleet could buy them the time, Brunn was now sure that they would cooperate in the end.
The Serrano Legacy, Against the Odds, is continued on the next CD.